Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem of Avraham Goldhar, and today we're going to Yuma Daf Mem Aleph, the fourth parak Tarf B'Kalpi. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Chisda said, "Ein akinim isparshos elo b'kikos balim o b'siyas kohen." Bird pairs do not become specialized and assume the respective designations of either a chatas or an ola, except at the time of the owners taking them to be offerings, or at the time of the kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse them, the offerings become pasul. If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the chatas and the other one as an ola. Rav Shimon bar Ashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding kinim, v'lakcha v'asa, and she shall take, and the Kohen shall make. We derive from here that kinim become designated oba kicha oba asiya, either at the owner's taking or at the Kohen's making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule and prove that the kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. Point of Rav Elazar said in the Mehoshia, "Metame mikdash asher behevi karbon ani lo yatza." A wealthy person who made the temple tame and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga said in the Roshia, Yatza, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the mission in the Gaim that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos, this shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word those, this, teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges this answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression Torahs, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora, meaning both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Kasho Lashon Shel Zohoris Barosh Sir HaMishtaleach. He ties a strip of red wool to the head of the Sir HaMishtalech, where Yitzhak said that he had heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the Parduma and one for the Sir HaMishtalech, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rabbi Yosef said that it seemed more reasonable that the Sir HaMishtalech requires the minimum shear, the boy chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rabbi Baruchama objected, saying that the Parduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rabbi answered saying that it's a Malchus Tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rabbi Yosef follows the view that it does not. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rav Chisda said, "Ein akinim isparshos elo obel kichas balim o b'siyas kohen." Bird pairs do not become specialized and assume their respective designations of either chatas or ola, except at the time of the owners taking them to be offerings, or at the time of the Kohen's actual making the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse them, the offerings become pasul. If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the chatas and the other one as an ola. Rav Shimon bar Ashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding kinim, v'lakcha v'asa, and ye shall take, and the Kohen shall make. We derive from here that kinim become designated oba akicha oba asiya, either the owner's taking or the Kohen's making of the offering. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule and prove that the kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. Point number two, Rav Elazar said in Rav Hoshi, "Matame mikdash asher behevi karbon ani lo yatza." A wealthy person who made the temple tame and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga said in Rav Hoshia, Yatza, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on a mission in the Gaon that states that if a poor Metzor brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzor brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of Metzor is different, for it's written in that section, Zos, this shall be the law of the Metzor. The restrictive word zos teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression Torahs, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Kasho Lashon Shel Zohoris Barosh Sir HaMishtaleach. He ties a strip of red wool to the head of the Sir HaMishtaleach, Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the Parduma and one for the Siha Mishtaleach, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the Siha Mishtaleach requires the minimum shear, the Boy Chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rambam Bar Chama objected, saying the Parduma also requires a minimum shear, because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rava answered, saying that it's a machlokes tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rav Yosef follows the view that it does not. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Mem Aleph, and our standard simon is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Once again, in slow motion. The grandma. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, which reminds Rav Chisda said that king do not assume their respective designations of either Achatos and Ola, except for the time the owner is taking them to be offerings or at the time the Kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse them, the offerings become puzzle. If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the Chatas and the other one as the Ola. Rav Shimon bar Ashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding kinim, v'lakcha ba'asa, and he shall take, and the Kohen shall make. So we derive from here that kinim become designated, oba akichu oba asiya, either the owner is taking or at the Kohen is making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule to prove that the kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. So the grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them. Which reminds us, Rav Elazar said in the Rav Hoshea that a wealthy person made the temple tummy and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga says in the Rabbi Hoshea that he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the Mishnah Gan that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos, this shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word, the Zos, teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression Toras, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. So the grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Which reminds Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the Parduma and one for the Siha Mishtaleach, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the Siha Mishtaleach requires the minimum shear, the Boy Chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rami Bar Chama objected, saying the Parduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rava answered, saying that it's a machlokes tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rav Yosef follows the view that it does not. So once again, the grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with a minimum shear. All right, so that concludes the shear. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.